Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, November 17th, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. It's Friday again already.
It is. TGIF.
Hope you got a great weekend planned.
Oh, well, the weather is just awesome. So, yeah, I can stay home and just have a great weekend because the weather is just awesome.
That's
so
great.
That's high wonderful. 60s, 70, you know.
That's terrible for the past the middle of November to have that kind of – isn't that just awful?
It is.
It's terrible.
Well, no. Yeah, I'm thankful for it, but
yeah,
it's just
– I am too.
You know, just getting some – some sunshine just kind of perks up your day. So,
well, it's supposed to get a little chillier here, but it's okay because Monday I'm taking off a day or two, and we're going to go deer hunting a little bit. I enjoy that. Just get a chance to get in the woods.
Yeah, poor Bambi.
Know, and spend time with a good friend or two. And I mean that's camaraderie, and I enjoyed that very much.
Mm. Good.
So, and Thanksgiving's coming up too. That's my favorite.
Plus, we have Thanksgiving next week.
And
we'll have Thanksgiving hours here at Discount Gold and Silver.
And Monday makes Marsha and I 52 years of marriage. How's that?
And you're going hunting?
Oh, yeah. That's okay. I'm going to take out dinner Sunday, then we'll go hunting Monday. It's all right. That's 52 years. Who cares? Oh, gracious. But anyway, I better be quiet before she hears me.
Yeah, you better be. You better be. All us girls out here. Let's go ahead and see what gold did today. You know, it was higher. We had it was $10 higher at the very open this morning. Pulled back, basically unchanged. We're still at $1,981 for gold. Silver had the same kind of day. It was $2,415 close to the open, and we're now looking at $2,380, pretty much unchanged. The other two white metals did move up. Platinum was up $5 at $9. Now it's $909. Palladium was up $16 at $1,080. The USDX today did break down through the 104. It's 103.88. Crude oil recovered a little bit, up to 2.84 at 75.74. Paper markets today. Pretty much across the board, they're unchanged. you know, the Dow was up less than 2 points. The S&P was up less than 6 points. And the NASDAQ was up less than 12. So not a gangbuster kind of a day there for the paper markets. 10-year yield, 4.43. So there was a little bit of pressure on that. European markets, though, were nice, bright, and green across the board. They did a little bit better in the green territory. You had the FTSE up 1.25%. Asian markets, it's a mixed. Shanghai and the Nikkei were stronger. The Hang Seng was lower by 2%. And my natural gas dropped also, even though the other oils went up. The natural gas was down 2.84% at 2.975 for natural gas. And it's, you know, it's just kind of a Friday. I think people are heading into a early Thanksgiving. I didn't have a chance to read this article, so perhaps I shouldn't bring it to everyone's attention. But it was about how people, there's so much bad things going on that people are just immune to reaction. Because it is so, people just turn the back to it. And I think that's what we're really experiencing, you know, in the gold market also. There's so much bad news out there. And it's like people are just floating around out there like everything is good and fine. They can't absorb anymore. They can't digest what really is all happening out there. And, you know, and then they get confused. I think confusion is a big part of it, because you get the reality, the facts that we bring you, and then you get the what the CNBCs, the Jamie Dimons of the world, the Ray Dalios of the world come to you and explain things away. I was listening to an interview this morning about Ray Dalio. He was the founder of Bridgewater, you know, and he's talking about his early life. Well, you know, he was a China guy. I mean, he started going to China very young in his career. He even sent his son to a Chinese school. And then you expect these guys to be really critical and bring you the truth of what's happening. They have, and these are the guys that were all at the meeting with Biden earlier this week. So it's like, but he did say, you know, it was pretty much Monday's meeting with Biden is pretty much all talk. You know, it's just an open dialogue. Nothing's going to change. You might see a little bit of, you know, friendly pat on the back, handshakes for maybe a couple of weeks, but then everything is just going to go back to the way it was. And so, but it's like, how credible are these meetings and so forth when you have all of these tech guys in there and these billionaires in there, these hedge funds and everything else in there? It's not about our country. It's not about you. It's more about them and what they can continue to prosper and help the governments. And it's butch. It's just, but nobody really looks at that in the depth of what it really is. And, oh, we're all going to have a soft landing. Okay.
Well, I don't know about that, but if it's soft landing or not, but the descent has been kind of hard on a lot of people. I know that. Just the fall
what?
Itself, the descent, the soft mm-hmm. landing may be there, but the descent has been hard on people.
True. And
I mean, the what we're seeing already certainly doesn't point to a soft landing.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Not for normal people. Maybe
no,
for them.
No. Well, it's all about them. I mean, the
it's
old
always
guard
about
is here.
That.
I mean, it's always about them. And, you know, and we just want to face the fact, Melody. Most of our government representatives are no longer really our representatives. They're out for themselves. And that's so obvious that this infighting, this circus in Congress and Senate and even on state levels anymore. It's not about the citizens. They don't care about that. As long as they're elected and they get to do what they want to do, they're going to feed us some cotton candy and make us feel better, maybe, or they'll make us keep us coming back, but it's not going to be anything of substance. It hasn't been for a long, long time.
No, it hasn't. I mean, there's an article out there about Americans are still paying an extra almost $700 a month due to high prices. So, you know, everybody talks about, deflation. Inflation is going down. Oh, the interest rates are going down. Really? So the 10-year popped over, 5% for a day or two. And it just really corrected down to the trend that it was at, the 4.3, 4.5, and 6. So where did it really, to me, when you see the 10-year yield drop to 3, then I can say the interest rates are dropping. You know, sure, it dropped from the peak of 5%, but it's still high. And people are having issues with that, so I don't know.
Well, it's not just 1 month of 5 or 7%, whatever. It's an accumulation of 2 or 3 years of that.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and 1 to 2 months wouldn't kill you, but 12, 24, 36 months, that adds up pretty quick.
It certainly does. And wages are stagnant. Sure, we hear about the big, the strikes and, all the big raises they get, but that's not everybody.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And it ends up hurting them in the long run anyway. All it does is increase prices. I mean, you and I have discussed that many times. Whenever you force companies to pay more, they're just going to raise their prices. They're not going to lose money. Businesses are not in business to lose money unless they're forced into it, like many of them have been since COVID, the bankruptcy declared because they lost everything because of COVID and other circumstances. Businesses are not in it just to break even. That's not the idea of business.
So either people will lose jobs over it and prices will continue to go up. So anyway,
we're going to start seeing their future. This is a guy's opinion. We'll have to wait and see. That we're going to start seeing means that people lose their jobs because the banks are starting to default, and the banks are actually seem like they kind of won't go that way a little bit. And have been forced away by the Fed in some areas. So we're only seeing the beginning of this crumbling of our financial system. I mean, it's just the beginning. And it can't change as long as we keep doing the same things over and over again. That's a sign of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting something different to come out of it. And we've been doing that for this nation over 100 years. I mean, wonder why our things falling apart. Anyway, you want to say anything else, Melody?
Just what do you got?
Okay, well, I got quite a bit here, actually. And this article, first article, I mean, this gentleman caught a lot of flack of this. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, had a prayer with some people in the Congress. Said, depraved Americans deserve God's wrath. And I have to agree with the fact that's true. But anyway, an October prayer call hosted by a Christian nationalist MAGA pastor, Representative Mike Johnson, was troubled that America was wickedness was inviting God's wrath. Talking to Pastor Jim Garlow on the broadcast of the World Prayer Network, Johnson spoke ominously of America facing a civilizational moment. He said, the only question is God going to allow our nation to enter a time of judgment for our collective sins? Or is he going to give us one more chance to restore the foundation and return to him? I have no problem. That prayer was that's a very solid question. Most of Congress probably didn't believe there is a God, but there is a God, and he does judge sin. So I'm not particularly keen on Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, but what he said there, I agree with 100%. So that's just the way I feel about that. Now, Mel, if you want to say anything, you just chime in there. I won't keep asking. If you want to say something, you can't chime in, okay?
Well, it is a little refreshing.
Yes, it is.
To hear someone speak in that manner, so enjoy it because it's going to be short-lived because he ain't going to be in that position very long. I'm just saying.
Although they'll be on him like fleas on a dog.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, that's all there is to it. And Muskegon County Township declares Second Amendment sanctuary and forms militia. Some places are starting to really stick out and stand up. On Tuesday evening, the Houghton Township Board of Trustees adopted a resolution declaring the township a Second Amendment sanctuary, as well as adopting an addendum establishing a township militia. Houghton Township is located in Muskegon County, similar to Livingston County, which last April passed a resolution naming it what's been dubbed the Second Amendment Sanctuary. Houghton's resolution declares the township will not enforce red flag laws restricting gun and ammunition possession. Whereas the Houghton Township Board declares it and confirms to express its intent to stand as a sanctuary township for Second Amendment rights and to oppose within limits of the Constitution of the United States and the Commonwealth of Michigan any efforts to unconstitutionally restrict such rights, the resolution reads. So in our county here in West Virginia, we did that 2 or 3 years ago, and our whole state did that. But nonetheless, we're seeing Michigan is not necessarily known as a bastion of conservatism, but in that one county, it seems like maybe they moved that direction. So that's some good news in a sense. People are starting to realize this nonsense has got to stop.
It's a start.
And made the right move here because congressional Democrats pitch background check for ammunition purchases, Melody. I mean, these people are going to keep hammering away, and they're going to keep on having mass shootings until something they get their way, apparently. But and I won't get into that right now. But I know that this all plays into their game. Representative Robert Garcia and Senator Elizabeth Warren have introduced an Ammunition Modernization and Monitoring Oversight Ammo Act, which seeks to restrict the bulk sale of ammunition. Ammo Act, I like that. That's pretty cool. The proposed bill would prohibit the purchase of more than 1,000 rounds of any caliber ammunition, as well as more than 100 rounds of 50 caliber ammunition within a 5-day period. You know, back when I used to do a lot of shooting and it was cheap, you could buy 550 rounds of 22 ammunition for $5.50. So buying 1,000 rounds is no big deal back then. But now they want to restrict that. We got to get a background check just to buy ammunition like that. But anyway, it would also require ammunition distributors to obtain the same federal license as a gun dealer, ban straw purchases for ammunition, and require ammunition sellers to report all transactions to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Explosives. Now, can you imagine the nightmare of that? Every time somebody goes in and buys a box of shotgun shells, go to squirrel hunting, they can report that to the BTF. I mean, come on, people. The bottom line is no individual should be buying bulk amounts of ammunition without a federal background check from places like gas stations, pharmacies, and convenience stores. It's placed without any sort of regulation and no record of the sale, Garcia said in a statement. If we're ever going to really take on gun and violence epidemic in this country, we need to regulate ammo accessibility. This bill aims to protect the American public from the devastating violence that occurs when the individuals have access to unlimited amounts of weaponry. We have a moral responsibility to treat gun violence in this country like the crisis is, Warren said in a statement posted on social media platform X. My new bill with Representative Robert Garcia is a common sense step to restrict ammunition sales, strengthen federal oversight of those sales, and help end the epidemic of gun violence in America. I got a comment on this, Melody. When I grew up, and I know this has been a long time ago, 75 years ago when I was born. But I grew up in the 50s, went to school in the 50s in grade school. We actually took guns to school and in high school to hunt after school. We left them in the office at grade school, left them on the bus during the day when we were in high school. Let's let them on the bus. And, you know, those guns never jumped up and attacked anybody. Never. But back then, there's something different. We were actually taught the Bible in school. We were taught to respect each other. We were taught morals. And that's the truth. I mean, girls had to dress like girls. Boys had to dress like boys. And, of course, that's back in the dark ages before we knew better. Now we know that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. Back then, we didn't know that. We thought they were just born that way, and that's what they were. But nonetheless, I guess this new bill, this ammo bill, might be a good idea because, you see, it's all the guns' fault. And it's nothing. This couldn't happen, Melody, because people's ideas and morality had changed, could it? This couldn't be a part of that problem, could it?
You know, it's fun. They want background checks, but you know what? They can't do the background checks that they're that by law they're supposed to do now. Look how many people go bypass these background checks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So true. I mean, what? How good is it? It doesn't fix the problem.
And look at all the gun laws already. They're not even enforcing them.
And they're not enforced. That's my point. They don't enforce them. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give
you. All righty, folks, we're back. Melody has to play with the mic for a second. This is Pastor Butch Paulinus and Financial Survival. You need to call Melody up. Please do that as soon as you can, for your own sake. 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. This next article, I think, is kind of interesting. I want to make a few comments when I read it. Everybody's in panic mode. Rich L.A. homeowners rent mansions for up to $150,000 per month amid turmoil. Wealthy Los Angeles homeowners are having a tough time selling amid a new tax on luxury sales and turmoil in the entertainment industry. Rather than unloading their mansions in a sluggish market, many homeowners have resorted to renting them out. Now, a new luxury tax in California. How's anybody afford to live in California? I don't know. Rob DeSantis, a serial entrepreneur who co-founded Ariba and was an early investor in LinkedIn Corporation, is a prime example of this trend. He recently placed his 13,000-square-foot Manhattan Beach estate on the rental market for $150,000 per month. This is a hedge, DeSantis said. I believe leasing it out will highlight the value of the property in a much better way. Now, I'm going to make a comment on that. I have no problem with DeSantis having a 13,000-square-foot home. That's fine. Yeah, sounds like he earned it. And I'm glad to hear that. But how does somebody that has that relate to someone who lives in a 1,000-square-foot house and can't afford to pay the power bill? Just asking that. The broader Los Angeles area is not immune to the downtown effect in U.S. housing market. Sales have plummeted, with luxury homes lingering on the market for double the time compared to average properties. The new mansion tax, targeting properties have over $5 million, has further complicated matters for sellers. Patrick Michael, founder and CEO of La Estate Rentals, sheds a light on the situation. A lot of owners took on homes and mortgages and extra vacation homes when the lending criteria was easier, he explained. I feel like everybody's in a panic mode now. Even wealthy owners are asking if I have anybody for this for their house. Michael, who represents around 250 short and long-term rentals, says he's been seen a surge in luxury rentals, liking it to a fluid situation following the 2008 housing crisis. On a smaller scale, that's 2008 was a rough year for those who remember that in the housing crisis. Could this be a beginning of something else along those lines? I don't know. But the whole reason I read this article basically was to ask, how could DeSantis not? And I like some things Rob DeSantis has done and trying to do. I like him. But how does he relate to me and you? Just a question on my mind. I don't know. That just sounds kind of, well, it's over my head to even think about it. Financially, I mean, that would be, gee. How many people do you know can afford $150,000 a month rent? That's just something to think about. Mel, you get back, you give me a holler. I'm here trying to carry on here. And this, the little ministry I have here that we run through our home office here, I have a little ministry, been on radio almost 31 years now. And we offer certain items to the ministry here, books and DVDs and some health products. We offer them through our ministry. And we ship them out of here. And in the last few years, our shipping costs have went through the roof. And I just read this headline. The U.S. Post Office loses $6.5 billion. Postmaster blamed inflation and junk mail. Well, I don't know. I'm not saying they didn't lose money. But it sure has cost me a lot more to mail everything from a letter right on up to packages. The post office expected to make money this year. It did not come close. The postmaster blames inflation. CNN reports the U.S. Post Service lost $6.5 billion. Last year predicted it would break even. The U.S. Post Office lost $6.5 billion It's just completed a fiscal year, delivering a blow to the service hopes of financial turnaround. The Postal Service has projected it would break even in the fiscal year that ended September 30th on its way to annual profits this year and going forward. Its results are particularly disappointing because it received a bump in its revenue earlier this year when shippers shifted package volume away from the UPS because of the threat of a strike. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy blamed the loss on inflation raising costs for its operations. It also sent printing prices surging, which significantly reduced the amount of junk mail marketers sent via the mail. The Postal Service reported that revenue was shipping and packages, now the greatest segment of its business by venue, edged up 1% to $31.6 billion, even as the volume fell by 2%. First-class mail also brought in 2% more revenue, climbing $24.5 billion, despite its 6% drop in volume. The biggest hit was $920 million, or 8% decrease in revenue from marketing mail. So, I mean, the volume went down, but some of the profits went up because the price goes up. You know, very few people, I think, really actually write letters any longer. It's almost a thing of the past. Most people don't even pay bills through the mail. They pay it online. So I can see a reduction in the use of post office. But the prices, I have to say, are getting to be pretty prohibitive, at least in our little ministry. It embarrassed me to charge what I have to charge just for shipping alone on products. It's just unbelievable. Mel, are you back yet? She's still on the phone. And this next article, I think, is kind of interesting, too, the point that Eric Adams, not by himself, obviously, he wasn't even in office when this all started, Eric Adams and other blue states and cities have got themselves in a bind with their illegal immigration policies. And they're hurting. But now here's the sad part. The people in these cities and these states and these counties are also starting to hurt because they're starting to see the taxes go up and their services come down because of illegal immigration. And it's almost too late to shut the door, so to speak, in some places in the case of New York, for example, New York City. New York, Eric Adams, budget cuts for voters, payoffs for Biden's migrants. They blame it on Biden. Okay, then I agree. Yeah, Biden had a lot to do with this. Mr. Adams and Hochul, the governor of New York, invited him in. So why are they whining about? New York Mayor Eric Adams says that he must cut spending on ordinary New Yorkers because the city's law prioritizes funding for President Joe Biden's economic migrants. Now, let me just make a statement here. The city's law prioritizes feeding illegals and cutting off the citizens. Something doesn't sound right about that statement. When the law actually starts penalizing the citizens and rewarding illegals, there's something wrong with that system. We must close a $7 billion budget gap in the coming fiscal year, he said in his speech to city residents. He added this, that it is the reality we are facing, and if the circumstances don't change dramatically, city agencies will be forced to reduce city spending by 5% two more times in the next 6 months. That will mean disruptions to the services you all rely on. The citizens of New York are going to pay not only with taxes, but a lack of services for the illegals that have been allowed in. Under the headline, Eric Adams slashes budget for police, libraries, and schools, the New York Times reported, the budget cuts would bring the number of police department officers below 30,000 for the first time since the 1980s, slice education department budget by $1 billion, over 2 years, and delay the rollout of composting in the Bronx and Staten Island, one of the major signature initiatives to address rats and climate change. The cuts will also weaken two popular programs, summer school and universal pre-kindergarten. So the people are going to pay, perhaps with increased crime, lack of police protection. They're going to see the idea of a composting for Bronx and Staten Island, a way to dispose of things and get rid of the rats and the other vermin, and they're going to lose summer school and universal pre-kindergarten. For months, we have warned New Yorkers about the challenging fiscal situation our city faces. Biden's very unpopular migration has delivered more than 100,000 migrants into New York. The city's law and lobby groups ensure that the migrants get shelter and food, costing up to $400 per day, pushing taxpayers' cost up above $12 billion. Now, New York's a big city, but $12 billion is a pretty good chunk of money for the city of New York to pay out other people's funds. And the cost of $400 a day to shelter and feed these people, each one. Now, I've got to ask you out there, most people out there today, does it cost that much to feed you personally, or one of your children, or your wife, or husband? This $400 a day, would that feed you and house you for a night or two? I know they're staying in motels. I realize that. And I know they're shipping food in or buying from, I don't know, whether from restaurants, whatever. But these people are getting more to live on than we do, and we work a job every day. There's costs of being paid by diverting funds from programs for ordinary Americans, such as policing in schools. But New York Democrats refuse to change the laws or raise taxes, and instead insist that the U.S. taxpayers from outside New York pay the bills while the city's insiders pocket, well, what can I say? They pocket the money. There's no point in even discussing further, I don't think. I mean, we're seeing this happen. We're seeing the American taxpayer nicely and now locally in towns and cities being ripped off. And you said they're going to raise taxes. Of course they're not. Well, if you don't raise them, then cut services. People don't need the trash picked up. They don't need protection. They don't need police on the street to stop drugs and criminals. They don't need that at all. All they need to do is just make sure those illegals have a place to sleep and food to eat. Mel, are you back with me yet?
I am. But you know, you're talking.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening. You were just talking about New York, and here You have the Memphis police chief claims crime is so bad not even the army can stop it. It's just not New York. They have, you know, what's going on in these cities?
I don't know, Melody. Well, again, I think it covers the first article we talked about the gun situation.
Yeah, true.
It's lack of morality, lack of teaching and morals. You know, I don't. Maybe it's, I know it's changed a lot since I was a little boy, but if I would have done some of the things in school that these boys and girls do today and get by with, my dad would tan my hide. I wouldn't forgot it for a while. But those things are past. We don't do that any longer. That's barbarian. You know, I mean, to be taught how to live as morally straight people. That's old fashioned. So anyway. Anything you want to add to that?
No.
Okay. Amazon will allow. Now, this, what's this going to mean to car dealers? I mean, really, seriously, for little mom and pop dealers or even big dealerships, Amazon will allow U.S. customers to buy cars on a site from local dealers next year. That's, now we've had the one on, whether you can buy. Melody, what's that one where you buy? They have them up in they show picture up in a tower. You pick out the one you want, like a vending machine. They bring it to you. I can't remember what the name of that
like
is.
CarMax
CarMax. Yes, Mike. Yes.
There's another one.
Yeah, there is. Want to buy a car on Amazon? Well, now you might get your chance. The e-commerce giant will launch vehicle sales in the U.S. next year and allow local car dealers to sell directly to customers on its site. That might be good for them. But again, I don't know. It's in a joint announcement with car manufacturer Hyundai on Thursday. The two companies said that Amazon will begin by offering Hyundai vehicles. In turn, Hyundai will name her Amazon Cloud Computing Unit AWS as its preferred cloud provider and integrate its next generation vehicles with Alexa, Amazon's popular voice assistant. The idea, according to Amazon, is to have customers purchase a new car online and pick it up or have delivered from their local dealer. That may help dealerships. That's possible. But if they do all that online, why would they have to have salesmen on staff or sales crew? I don't know, Melody. I mean, there's all this sounds handy and really convenient. What's it going to mean to people that make a living in the car industry?
I mean, certainly there's going to have pressures on the salespeople and so forth. They're really, you know, they're going to have to perform, but because there's still local people who want to go in and so forth. But I've bought vehicles without seeing them, sight unseen. So, you know, not on the computer, but I bought them sight unseen. So it's not a big deal anymore.
I can't say that I've ever done that. I don't think I ever have.
And it's, my about first trust, car, it's about my trust. It's about
trust. Well, I never bought a vehicle without seeing it. My first one, I remember the 55 Olds. That's been a long time ago. Should have kept it. Been worth money today. But those, you know, things are changing, and convenience is the name of the game now for a lot of people. That's all there is to it. So,
and you know what? And you know what? Maybe it'll put some pressure on these local car dealers, you know, to compete. Maybe they'll increase the service that you get. Maybe they'll start doing, you know, and treat people the way they're supposed to be treated, whether you're male or female. And I'm a female, and I used to hate to go because I did get treated differently, without a doubt, because they would always ask me. They were always looking for my husband. Or, you know, well, you know, are you married? You know, who's a decision maker? I am, buddy. But they did. And it's just, so, you know what? Maybe it'll improve service. Who knows?
Well, I don't know. I mean, everything, a change like that, it's a big change. We'll see. I don't know. I do know that online sales affected brick and mortar stores. You know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know. Only time will tell. Boston Democrats look to extend voting rights to foreign nationals. Here we go again. Democrats in the Boston City Council are looking to extend local voting rights to foreign nationals in the United States on visas, green cards, and other forms of legal status. Now, I'm going to make this comment and go into the article. They're going to extend voting rights to non-citizens. They may be there legally, but they're not citizens. Do you see a problem with that, Melody?
Yeah. Do you?
I sure do. I certainly do. We're getting ready to go to break. I'm going to have to break. We'll finish that. But, yeah, there's something. That's just something wrong with that. People are paying the tax and buying the homes. You know, they can the foreigners, they're not going to be there, can vote and then leave the country. But anyway.
Yeah. But is that new? What they have. Anyway, we'll be right back.
It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Is it you or me? It must be me.
You're right ahead.
I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, 1-800-375-4188. I just want to give a little special here that we're running. We got some fractional 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles in, $228 a piece, and we're going to include a tube of 1 ounce silver American Eagles for 2023s. These are the dates on those with shipping. Your total, I'm even going to reduce it a little bit from the total price just to make it an even $800 for a 10th ounce American Gold Eagles and 20 American Silver Eagles. It's a nice little package, and $800. So it's real easy to write out on those checks, $800. But you got to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
That is a good deal.
It really is a good deal.
That's a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
You may. Say that one more time. I'll make sure people caught that. What did you get for $800? Run that one more time.
You get a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. It's a 2023, and you also receive 21 ounce American Silver Eagles, and those are also 2023s. And it includes shipping, and your total is $800.
And that is a good mixture.
It's a very good mixture.
I mean, that's
so you're paying less than you're paying less than $20 on your shipping, and I didn't do any comparisons online, but I know we're very competitive on these. So they just need to call us.
You always are competitive. Mm-hmm. I this story about the Democrats giving the vote, the foreign nationals right to vote in Boston. That's one thing. But I want to share the story you mentioned to me just a minute ago about nuclear war. I think that was very interesting. And I know I just heard her dog bark, so she may cut the mic real quick. I don't know. Get back on. I want her to share that because I think the nuclear war has been talked about more and more all the time. And no one in the right mind would even think about that. You back with Melody? Okay. And to give you an idea of the decay of cities in America, and now we know this is happening all over the country, but news crew robbed at gunpoint while filming in San Francisco's ahead of Yiping-Biden summit. Now, I know this has already happened, but this story is, well, it's just, there was a time that would have been almost unthinkable these things to happen on such a frequent basis. Czech TV journalist Bozomil Vostal found himself in a tense situation as he aimed to capture a striking scene. The renowned City Lights bookstore in San Francisco immersed in a dimming twilight. Vostal and his cameraman fell victim to a harrowing robbery orchestrated by three masked assailants wielding guns. The incident, occurring at 5 p.m. on Columbus Avenue, resulted in the theft of equipment and valuable footage worth over $18,000. Perpetrators targeted the journalists despite the heightened international attention drawn by the APEC summit, which gathered leaders from 21 economies. In an interview, Vostal expressed his shattered expectations, stating, "I'm one of those many people who used to read Jack Kornick's On the Road, and I was so much looking forward to visit your city." You know, that has to be a downer when people come to America and expect something new and it's something great as it used to be. And San Francisco at one time was a beautiful city. I've been there, I know, back in the late 70s, 60s. I was there, and it was a beautiful, beautiful city. I mean, along the bay and walked across Golden Gate Bridge. It was a beautiful place to just see for a city. Melody, back with us yet?
I am.
Okay. I know you had to shut off every second because I heard your little puppy barking. But the story you mentioned about
my watchdog. She's my watchdog.
There you go. You mentioned
she's not
about
a little puppy dog. She'll take somebody's leg off. Mine most of the time, but.
Okay. Well, you mentioned about nuclear war, and I'm going to read this after you read that. But Russia loads missile with nuclear capable glide vehicle into launch silo. Now this we're seeing this on a more frequent basis talk about nuclear war being coming on the scene. Now, what were you sharing during the break?
Well, you know, there's out of Newsweek the headline is "Nuclear War Will Happen: Putin Ally Warns," and Russian propagandists with close ties to Putin has warned nuclear war is unavoidable. In a recent debate on state TV, Vladimir Solovyov justified his view by saying that a nuclear strike would not lead to a widespread death and destruction if used against a non-nuclear nation. I guess that would be Ukraine. I don't know. Perhaps a foreboding hint at the ongoing invasion of Ukraine. Well, there it says it, which has turned into a slow attritional war with over 300,000 Russian casualties. Newsweek reached out to the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs via email for comment. The use of nuclear arms is something the Russian president has previously threatened, sparking outrage from NATO, but has yet to act on given the nuclear arsenal held by members of the alliance, including the United States. However, the threat of nuclear attacks by Russia is something propagandists have increasingly been mentioning as the military situation in Ukraine grows more dire. And according to the translation by the Daily Beast Russian Media Monitor Unit published on Thursday, Solovyov told panelists nuclear war was unavoidable, adding, it will happen, no doubt about it. So, you know, nuclear war is a means for something. It's a strange fight over the means. A nuclear war fulfills a certain goal. And so it will be interesting. He also added, we already had a nuclear war. Two nuclear bombs were dropped on the territory of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan. And so, that, I mean, they're you know, this guy, they're debating. But, I mean, Butch, we've talked about it.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that absolutely. Is their, that is the end game.
I mean, that sounds very ominous. And they said, boy, they may not lead nuclear war if they drop it on somebody that doesn't have nukes. Was even that country does not have nukes. It probably has friends who do.
Yeah.
So, no, that's not going to be something that's going to be limited. I'm afraid that once a nuclear bomb is sent, it's going to lead to escalation in other places. And no matter how small they want them, they want just a tactical nuke, just a nuke just to make a point. It's not going to stop at that. It won't stop at that. It'll spread to something bigger and bigger. And that should concern everybody.
And, you know, it's interesting is because, you know, all the comments and the commentary and so forth is, there's no way that they would ever launch the nukes. It's just not going to happen. And it's, but you know what? When you continue to hear that, when no one expects it to happen, that's usually when it does. With almost anything in life, you don't, you know, and it's, I hope he doesn't. And I said the other day, maybe there's a reason why he's going so slow and you know, in taking Ukraine. Maybe that was part of his, you know, strategy. I mean, I don't know. I'm certainly not a military person, but you know, I do have common sense. And so we don't know. And that's the unknown. That's a big unknown.
And I can't imagine if it happens, it's going to spread, and that's not going to be something that anybody wants to even think about, because no one actually wins a war, and a nuclear war, certainly no one's going to win. That's just unthinkable. Gee. And back to Russia here. Russia's rocket forces loaded an intercontinental ballistic missile equipped with a nuclear-capable avant-garde hypersonic glide vehicle into a launch silo in southern Russia, according to Defense Ministry TV channel. President Vladimir Putin announced the avant-garde hypersonic glide vehicle in 2018, saying it was a response to U.S. development of a new generation of weapons and the U.S. missile defense system that it could penetrate. As it approaches a target, the avant-garde glide vehicle detaches from the rocket and is able to maneuver sharply outside the trajectory of the rocket at hypersonic speeds of 27 times the speed of sound, about 21,000 miles per hour. Wow. The Zebedee television channel, owned by the Russian Defense Ministry, showed the ballistic missile being transported anyways. It talked about what it can do. But at 21,000 miles an hour, it could be around the world in an hour. I mean, think about that, Melody. That's huge. That's huge. And there'll be no defense against that. That's really huge and scary. It truly is. And I do have a good news article I want to share that's not really lengthy, but it's going to be tight for the time left, I think. But I will share this. Netanyahu is facing some competition. Some of his opposition leader, Yair Lapid, said Wednesday that Netanyahu has to leave now. In other words, he has to be out of office. So this war in Russia and Gaza, or Israel and Gaza, is bringing up opposition to the Israeli government, obviously. So we'll see. Mel, what else you want to add before I go to a good news article?
No, we're good. We're ready for your. You're a little early, but that's okay.
Well, we got about 3-4 minutes left, and it's a little bit lengthy.
Okay.
And this is a story that I think was such a good idea that I want to bring it up. This just become a law in this city in Montana, and I thought it was such a good idea I want to share it. In this Montana city, defendants can pay off their court fines with food bank donations. I like that. For the third year in a row, Montana City is embracing the holiday spirit by allowing defendants to pay off some of their court fines with donations to the local food bank. Butte, Montana launched an initiative in 2019, according to City Court Judge Jerome McCarthy. The project has brought its thousands of pounds of canned food for the Butte Emergency Food Bank. The program is possible because of Montana's criminal procedural statute, which states that the court may permit a part or all of a fine to be satisfied by a donation of food to a food bank program. In Butte, officials at the City and Justice Courts decided that most of the December defendants will be able to exchange a donation of 30 cans to the food bank for $150 of their fine. Judicial officials thought it would be a good opportunity for folks to have, you know, a little bit less of a fine on your monthly payment, and would also be a great benefit to the food bank, McCarthy said. It's just a win-win situation. Donating food also provides an emotional boost for defendants paying off their fines, according to the judge. It makes them feel a little better, he said, adding that hundreds of defendants have participated in the program so far. This year's donation for fine program opened December 1st and will end on December 21st, McCarthy says. They hope to assemble a pretty good amount of food before Christmas. The community has embraced the initiative, McCarthy says. The folks here in Butte, in my opinion, are extremely giving and willing to help folks, particularly those that are struggling, and so the community response has been very good. He said that he hopes the city's unique fundraiser inspires people to help out others that are down and out, whether it be with paying a fine or with trying to make ends meet. It represents a good holiday spirit, McCarthy added. You know, that is a unique way, in my mind, of actually helping people out, Melanie. I mean, yeah, people don't want to pay fines, you get in trouble, and I understand that. We've all been fined for something from time to time, speeding or whatever. But to give them a chance to donate food to help somebody that needs it, that has to be a good feeling inside for most people. Would you agree?
I agree. And you know what? Maybe that's even a bigger lesson than just paying the money. Because, you know, it doesn't mean it. Paying the money, you're just giving it to the government. It doesn't mean anything. You get a little. But actually trying to help something, it is a good thing. And so it might change their lives to where they might not get in trouble again.
Well, I thought that was a unique idea. I just wanted to share that. I know we had a few minutes, a little bit of time here, but the comment on that was just that sometimes when people think things through a little bit, the lawbreaker is being punished, but in a way that maybe will make them think a little more about, hey, I'm not just putting money up because I got in trouble. I'm actually doing something to help somebody now. Maybe it'll make them think about some things a little bit so they won't want to do it again. In my thinking, that's a good way to facilitate a person that maybe is aggravated because it's paying the fine, to maybe just remember there's something good come out of it, other than just, like you said, paying the fine to a court that's going to park the money and who knows what. But I just want to share that story.
I'm glad you did. That was a good one. That was a good one, Butch.
All right. I got one good this year. Okay. All right.
Yeah. They're all good. They're all good. But, you know, it's that time of year. But,
yes, it is.
1-800-375-4188. Remember, we got the special going. We have a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 20 Silver Eagles. It includes shipping costs, $800. $800 even. And you just need to give us a call and get those prices locked in. 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back on Monday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.